the 32nd verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What favor, what privileged characters these are who are included in that little word, us. How important it is that we should endeavor to trace our interest in that little word, to know that he views us in that wherein the us is so concerned in what he hath done for them, concerning the greatness of his unspeakable gift, and how that with him there is freely given unto such all things. The hymn writer puts it somewhat like this: I beyond imagination is the love of God to man, love eternal dwells in Jesus Christ. And if we are in Jesus Christ, then we shall eternally be blessed. Then pause, my soul, and ask the question: can you say that you are numbered amongst this number, upon whom his love was fixed from all eternity? The love which is eternal, the love which is immutable. Yea, here is one of the words that defines all expression. Search where you will, seek to find that whereby you may depict the wonder of that word, and you will fail miserably. For who can define, who can analyze the wonder of that love? Yea, the very word itself that expresses the reality of God, that God is love. Here we are confronted with that which is so incomprehensible, so inconceivable, and yet he has given us the manifestation of that love. He has shown unto us wherein his love has gone up toward his people before this earth began, and he shows us that his love is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And being in his Son is toward all them that are so brought to him, who are brought so to know that which by faith the blessed mystery is unfolded to their souls concerning him who loved them, gave himself for them. We think of those wonderful words that the Lord spake unto our disciples when he was here upon earth. He assured me to be taken from them in the flesh. They were to see him no more. He is full of regard and concern for that which is relative unto their state and their condition after his withdrawal. establishment of their hearts, when they no longer have his human presence with them. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He is speaking to those disciples who, by his own choice, he has been pleased to call unto himself. He has instructed them in the knowledge of his Father's works and his Father's words. He has come to make known unto them the Father. And he says, the Father himself loveth you. Yes, as the Father hath loved the Son, so have I loved you. What greater love than there can now be made known than this which existed between the eternal Father and the eternal Son? Their oneness, their unity. Yes, that which is indissoluble. There can be no division in that wherein that love doth so stream forth, reciprocating the one and the other, bound together in that which pertains unto the eternal deity. And yet, what does my Lord say concerning it? We read at the end of the chapter, it is the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He declares that that love, which doth indeed have it been betwixt them, the Father and the Son, he himself, with that same love, hath loved these his disciples. Oh yes, it is a love that can never be magnified enough. It is a love that can never be exalted too much. You may say what you may, and you are only touching, as it were, the fringe of the matter. And yet, this is the love wherewith he hath loved his own. In that wherein he says, I have loved you, continue ye in my love. Wherein is that continuance? It is as a branch abides in the vine. I am the true vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, for love will bear thee no denial, even as that love which is between the Father and the Son, that they cannot deny themselves. Oh, wondrous love! No, we do but babble when we speak of the wonder of the love that so comes unto all them who are in Christ Jesus. Those who were chosen, as we have been singing tonight before time began, committed into the keeping of his dear Son. And the Son in his love coming, and so bringing to an accomplishment all things which was relative unto their state and condition, that they might come into that blissful are in Christ Jesus. Or, if you are in Christ Jesus, I'll tell you one evidence. Your heart will be crying out unto him to make, to have it made known unto you. You'll give him no rest until he does indeed assure your soul that you are indeed in his love. Yes, what a mercy to have some comprehension of the love of God toward man, that we may indeed so find within our heart that craving, that yearn, that longing, that love may be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you say, yes, given unto me. Yes, it must be given. You can't manufacture love. You can't create love. But where love is, there will be that reciprocation. And as we have said of that which relates unto the unity of the Father and the Son in the eternal Godhead, so you in your measure know what it is to have that reciprocation. How and in what way? Because we love him who first loved us. And it is in that wherein our love doth so go up toward him that we have the sweet savor of his love toward us, that whereby we are united in a oneness, in a unity. Yes, wondrous love to all that are in Christ. Yes, this is the us within the text. This is the all within the text. Though it doesn't apply to everybody. It is distinct. It is personal in that wherein it is known and enjoyed within the heart, solely by his own. Then what are these characters? We say yes in Christ Jesus, in the Anointed One, in the Savior. But how do we know it? Remember that all those who are in Christ Jesus are saved sinners. They were all bound in this time as a black sinner. Those which even the bride had to testify concerning herself. I am black. Yes, if I am numbered about this with this people, I shall know my blackness. I shall know my guiltiness. I shall know my unworthiness. I shall know that wherein I do not deserve the least atom of that which pertains to his divine favor. Yes, and yet these are the characters who are made to know their blackness and their filthiness, upon whom his heart's love is placed. He looks upon them as the very apple of his eye. Oh, then behold the wonder. See how it is expressed in the word of God, that ye were the children of wrath, even as others. Ye were they who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. You are one of them. And yet, you have he forgotten. And yet he came in the infiniteness of his love. He saw you lost and ruined in the fall, yet loved you, notwithstanding all. Oh, do we not have to echo the familiar language? Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. Yes, saved sinners. Sinners who have been freed and brought away from that which was relative unto their former condition and place. Brought out of that realm in which they lived, fulfilling the lusts and the desires of the flesh. And now having within their hearts a new spirit. And that brings me to the next point, that these characters in Christ Jesus are not only saved sinners, but they are regenerated souls. What a wonderful thing to be regenerated, to be given a new life, to have a new heart. Yea, to have instilled within my soul that which is written therein by the Spirit of the living God, even that which concerns the fact that he will put his laws into your hearts and direct them in your mind. Dost thou come up to this? Dost thou know what it is to look back unto the day when everything was so different with you? You didn't desire the knowledge of his ways. You were perfectly content with the life that you were living. You may even have made a profession of Christianity and rested in it. You were at that time entirely unconcerned about your soul's destiny. It didn't cause you a worry. It didn't bring any fear into your heart of relative unto eternity. These things were far from your thoughts. You lived for the present time. You never thought of anything beyond. And then that marvelous day came when he began to work within your heart. It was the Spirit of life. Yes, the life that comes from God himself. And that life is essentially pure and holy. And when he came into your heart with that regenerating grace in all the majesty of his divine love, he showed you what you were. He showed you your lost condition. He showed you that there was no hope for you. He showed you that you could have no confidence in the flesh. Yes, but he didn't stop there. The same Spirit that so convinced you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment was the same Spirit that so took of the things of Jesus and his love and revealed him unto you. Because your poor guilty soul to flee unto him for refuge, how you then went out after him, how you as it were could find no happiness nor peace, until he did indeed say unto thee, I love thee well, my child. Oh, there was none then as you have just been seen that could satisfy you. It was indeed your language. Give me Christ, or else I die. Yes, when the Spirit enters into your heart, it uplifts the precious Christ, and it humbles you into the dust. And it shows you the wondrous freeness of that grace which is visits the soul. When he so speaks life into the soul, when he brings an exercise of mind and of heart after the things of God, when he sets you wholly seeking that which is to be found in him and in him alone, thy righteousness, thy holiness, thy heaven. Yes, the indwelling Spirit of God in your soul. There is another word in this chapter which likewise describes these characters. It is the word saint. That is, one who is holy. I love that expression of the psalmist. I didn't at one time because I didn't understand it. I couldn't grasp what he meant. Preserve me, O God, for I am holy. In other words, he was saying, I am a saint. And who is a saint? One whom thou favorest. And who is one whom thou favorest? The one that thou dost set apart unto thyself. You know all things in connection with the tabernacle that were holy unto the Lord, were set apart unto him. So when he comes and he visits your soul, he sets you apart unto himself. Yes, father, mother, children, true we have that human love toward them. True we love them with a sincere and a true affection. But when he comes, he takes your heart. When he comes, he has all your love. You love him then more than father or mother or brothers or sisters. And if you do not know this, then you are not worthy to be called one of these. No, when he comes and he takes your heart, my friend, it was center wholly in himself. Jesus only. Sometimes we have thought concerning those whom we have loved, shall we see them in heaven? That is not disclosed to us. We have nothing in the Word of God, as it were, so to declare that this state is going to be. But we see Jesus. And Jesus is the sum and the essence and the bliss of all the love that we can ever bring to him. The bride knew this. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? And she gave a full description of him. When she came to the end, words that it were seemed to fail her. She had, so it were to sum it all up with that language. He is altogether lovely. It doesn't matter what aspect she had of him. From whatever angle she might view him, he was altogether lovely. Sinner, is he such to you? Is he the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000, if so, all that your love will ever desire is Jesus only. All that your desire to love in heaven is Jesus only. Yea, you will be separated unto him. And then there is another word that he concerning this people. He says, elect, elect. A blessed word for them who know the Lord and who are known of Him. Chosen. What is the secret of my spiritual life? What is it that so sustains and upholds and strengthens me through all the trials of which we speak this morning, that we have to meet with in the spiritual experience? Is it not this, the eternity of the divine choice? Is unalterable, is unchangeable, chosen of God, ere time began. And does not your heart oft times echo unto that word, I choose him in return? Yes, he to you is the elect. He to you is that choice one of the Father. He is the one in whom you desire to be found, because you are in Christ Jesus. Then again, all these characters are those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Yes, indwelt. Paul reminds us when he wrote unto the church Corinth of that truth. Are not your bodies, he says, the temples of the Holy Ghost? He indwells them. And how the Blessed Spirit, in his indwelling in their heart, becomes to them the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel. That spirit wherewith our Lord was anointed from on high, when he entered into his public ministration of the word of his Father, is that same anointing that spreadeth even unto the skirts of his garments, where the blessing is alone to be found. And have you not known what it is for that blessing to come down even unto you? It reaches unto the lowest. Yes, it takes the poor beggar off the dunghill. It takes that which is worthless and exalteth it upon high. And this is the love that would so manifest itself to poor needy sinners. Because it is the Holy Spirit in his indwelling that frees you from the law of sin and death. What do we read in the commencement of this chapter? Let us remind ourselves of it for confirmation of the statement that has been made. The Lord of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law that was so holy and good, it could not enable me, in that fallen and corrupt nature, to render unto it the righteousness, the obedience which it demanded. No, it could only speak the word of condemnation. But God, here it is. Love, in all its evidence and manifestation, sending his own Son, the one who was ever eternally one with him, the one who was the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This is the one that is sent. It is God the Son. Can you grasp the thought? But it is a reality. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, taking upon himself that which is our nature yet without sin. And before sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If I and you know anything of those precious mysteries of which we have been spoken as the result of the matchless love of God toward us, then, my dear hearer, we know that that light can never be extinguished. It can never be brought to naught. It abides, it remains, it will bring you through all. For in that wherein that light doth so consist, there is a fullness of provision. For all that he foresaw in you, even concerning you, and I say you individually, yes, he made a provision of all things for you. And he has brought to fruition that which he has commenced within you. It shall be perfect in that day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Seeing again that wherein the indwelling of the Spirit within the heart leads you, guides you, directs you. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of faith. Yes, indwelling your heart. Oh yes, here is no faith of my own making. And that which relates unto the faith that he giveth, looketh wholly unto him, because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What does it do? It not only liberates your soul, but it leads you into the glorious mystery of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what do you find? That I'm coming back to the same spot. There's nothing so uniting you in love. There is nothing that so brings into our oneness like love. And that is just where it brings you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they shall be, they will be, no. As sure as the Spirit of God grows within that poor sinner's heart, they are the sons of God. Oh, I'm sorely tempted here to stay for a while and to speak of the blessedness of that fact, which is so related to us in the words that follow. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. God has an inheritance in all the saints, and all the saints, they know that God is their inheritance. Yes, freed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and they are owned by the Spirit. Have you never known what it is sometimes? time or another, when you have been contemplating the things of Jesus Christ by the same blessed Spirit, when you have been thinking upon him, musing over his loveliness, his suitability unto your need and to your case, at times to be taken clean out of your soul, to be so taken up that you have been almost like the prophet when he soared above, and you too have known what it is by that same Spirit to be lifted above, to soar above. Yes, for what have you found in him? What is now made known unto you? The Spirit witnesseth with your spirit that you are a child of God. All these are follies unto unbelievers. These are riddles unto them who may make a profession and know not the power of godliness. These are things that are undiscoverable unto man by nature. And yet he is pleased to reveal them unto you. And what brought him to do it? Nothing but redeeming love. Yes, shall we take a further step concerning these characters? Then listen. Who are they? They are the called, according to his purpose. Effectually called. You're sitting here tonight. You're listening to the gospel as these poor lips are enabled so to declare it. Have you heard his voice in the gospel? Has it entered into your heart, or have you only heard it with the outward ear? For where there is only the hearing of the outward ear, there is no responsiveness in your heart. There is no change wrought therein. You remain exactly the same as you come into his courts. But oh, that effectual call, that call that comes to you and sets you apart even as you are sitting in the pew. Until you feel as though everybody else has departed and gone, and you are left alone with him. Yes, there is a general call in the gospel. There is a particular call that reaches unto the hearts of them whom he loves, and they shall hear his voice. And that is what our Lord told the disciples and others when he was here below. They shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Have you heard it? If you have heard it, you have known what it is to be overcome by it. You have known what it is to be knocked down by it. You have known what it is to fall prone before him. Yes. And your heart has responded. Take my heart and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Yes. He comes to your poor heart and he says, notice. The word that he used, I've heard it so many times without this word, the whole verse, as it were, being uttered. They have said, give me thine heart. They have pleaded with men that they might give their heart unto the Lord. But the verse doesn't convey them. The verse is a verse of authority. Notice the two first words. He comes to the particular individual. only in that wherein you are so God, but remember that it is according to his purpose. The purpose from all eternity that you should be with him to an ever-ending eternity, and that he has made in that call of the gospel a sure and full provision, whereby it shall all be brought to a glorious accomplishment in Christ Jesus. But I want you to know that these who are so called according to his purpose, set apart unto him, give a practical proof of it in their lives. O walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is distinction. Here is division. Here is separation. Yes, no longer living according to our former lusts, but now living unto him, and living unto him wherein everything is precious, and a great worth unto our soul. And we go after those who are Jews of his grace, and going after them we walk accordingly. Or there is a true and a faithful saying, you know, I've never heard it preached from, I don't know why, but it is to this effect, that they should be careful to maintain good works. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Not the fruits, mark you, of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, and if we walk after the Spirit, then we shall walk according to that wherein the Spirit doth so possess us. He will regulate. He will control. He will take over the management, as it were, of all that which relates unto our future. And he sets before us those things which are so exceeding precious and valuable unto us, that we do desire and long to make greater progress until we are put into the full possession of a precious Christ. This is what the love of God doth for his people. He in his love enriches them in all things. It never leaves them as it finds. Pause there. I must discriminate. Do you know that wherein the difference doth lie? That you are no longer the slave of Satan, but now you are the slave of the precious Christ. And you love that slavery. You love to do everything that he wills. You endeavor to do everything that he teaches. You don't lay it on one side when you have read it and say, well, this has, as it were, nothing to do with me, has no effect upon me. No, you will in that love to your Lord pray that you may be conformed unto his truth, that you may walk in it. You walk, you mind the things of the Spirit. Yes, the characters of this people. Well, it had been my intention to speak to you of the wonder of that love in the gift, that he that spared not his own son, and not only so, shall cause thee to possess, and the assurance that thou shalt indeed be glorified eventually with him. But we must leave the subject. The Lord apply the message to the glory of his own name. Amen.
Hymn number 418, 418. To our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. O may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue.